Glad to have everybody's voices back. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Title of my message this morning is Hidden Truths. Hidden Truths. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 43. Last week, we started what's going to wind up to be three messages out of Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, we have what we call the kingdom parables. They are talking about heaven. We know that a parable is a story that has a spiritual or a moral meaning to it. Up to this point, Christ has preached to the crowds. And he has made it very clear. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then on the Sermon on the Mount, he explained what the kingdom of heaven was. He did things to prove that he was God in the flesh. And then people started arguing with him. And basically, God says, if you don't want to listen, that's your choice. So then he goes and he starts speaking in parables. And there are seven parables in Matthew chapter 13. Last week, we covered the parable of the seed. The seed is thrown everywhere in the world. For whosoever believeth will be saved. Okay? If we believe in Christ, the seed is there for us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But last week, with the parable of the seed and the sower, there were four soils. And those soils were represented in the crowds that were following Jesus. There were people there that had a stone heart. And basically, the Word of God is just bouncing off of them. And there may be somebody here today, the Word of God just bounces off of you because you don't really want to hear it. You may be under duress. I hope not. But the issue is that people just won't listen. You know, sometimes your wife will say that you're just what? Hard-headed. You don't listen to a thing I say, and vice versa. So there was stony ground people that the Word just couldn't even penetrate. Then there was the shallow ground people where the Word could get in, but there was not enough depth on the roots. And so when the sun came up and trials come, there was no faith there to endure the trial, and it doesn't become fruitful and it just withers away. Then there's the stony ground Christian that there's all these things, and it's hard to get root again. And it's just not working. And then there's the thorny ground Christian. And because there are so many distractions in the world, so many things that test our time, people are busy today. But don't be so busy that you can't find God. And some people will busy themselves right into an eternity without God. Because it says that the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. There's no faith there. And then there was a good ground. And it brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. So then he talks to his disciples. They came, hey, why are you doing this? You were preaching clearly now, and now you're not, you're doing these stories. And he quotes scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, saying that you have ears, but you're not going to hear. You have eyes, you're not going to see. And these parables, Christ asks a question. He says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That was last week. Today we're going to cover three parables. One's a little bit longer than the other two. We're going to cover the parable of the tares, the parable of the mustard seed, and then the parable of the leaven. Next week we will cover the other three in Matthew chapter 13. So we're just going to read scripture right now. We're just going to go through the three parables and then find out what God has for us. Who hath ears to hear? Let him what? Let him hear. So in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, we see another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and then went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? So there's two types of seed out there. There's wheat and there's tares. Verse 28, and he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Now, when you go out and you weed your garden, sometimes you'll tear up the good stuff, or you might even chop off a squirrel's head. Okay? It says, but let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So the crowds out there are listening and going, So the issue about the wheat and the tares is this. Can you tell the difference? You better, because your eternity rests on it. Eternity rests on whether or not you're wheat or whether or not you're tares. Then there's the parable of mustard seed, verses 31 through 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So, Jesus is saying, it's like seed and ground. It's like tares and wheat. And now the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And people are going, huh? Now, we don't know if these parables came in succession, but it seems from the implication of the way Matthew puts it in here that they did. So it's going to take 5 minutes to get through these verses, and eternity's in the balance. He hath ears to hear, let him what? Hear. Then he goes on, verse 33, there's a parable of the leaven. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So can you imagine if you were in the crowd and you're hearing this and you go, what? And Christ is talking about the kingdom of heaven again. Same thing he's talking about on the kingdom of the mount, on the Sermon on the Mount. And people are going, ugh. So why is Christ doing this? Well, in verses 34 and 36, it says, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, okay, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. There's probably a lot of people in that crowd went home and said, boy, wasn't those great stories? What do they mean? What do they mean? Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says this, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. See, Christ wants everybody to come to a saving knowledge of Him. But He's not going to compete. He's going to put the truth out there, and you're going to have to deal with it. And the whole purpose of this parable is this, that truth must be sought out. next week when we get into the pearl, great price, and all this other stuff, we're going to see that. We're talking about what happens after you die. Christ is talking about this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so we need to understand that we need to seek out truth. You know, when I showed you that picture of a tear, did you figure out which one was which? The wheat was on the what? Left. And the tear was on the right. If you said backwards, then you need to go back to biology, okay? The issue is that we need to understand the truth. And there's a lot of stuff out there that is not truth. There's a lot of tears in the world when it comes to faith. Have you heard any of these? It doesn't matter what you believe, just believe. You believe in God your way, I believe in God my way. As long as everybody believes that there's a God, that's good enough. James chapter 2 says this. You believe in one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. See, it's not about what you believe, it's what you have faith up here. Head knowledge is about faith down here. And there's a lot of people thinking they're going to heaven and they're doing something that looks good to other people, but it's not. It's a tear. Or what about this one? You need faith. Yeah, believing in Jesus Christ is okay, but you need to get baptized. Or you need to keep on taking communion. Or you need to go and have a second blessing as part of your salvation. You need to be able to do something else that you can prove to yourself that you're saved. Holy Spirit does that. Amen. See, those are tares. Those are fake. That's fake faith. So, that's a tear. Something that's going to be judged in the end time. Or maybe this. That's great that you're saved, but you need to work at it to prove to everybody else and to keep it, because, boy, if you mess up, boy, you're done. You're damned to hell. This was a problem back in those days with the disciples after Christ ascended. There were people called Judaizers. And they went and they would come into a city and they would tell the new believers in Christ and said, hey, this stuff about Christ and faith in Christ is okay, but you have to go back and keep all the Old Testament law. Because if you don't keep the Old Testament law, you can lose what you got. Because that was Moses, and Moses was bigger than Christ. It's a tear. It sounds good. It looks good. It even looks a little bit like the truth. Because it's got some of it in. But it's, in reality, it's fake. Or what about this one? You need God's Word in your house, but you need this other book. You need something else. There's more revelation to come. Hey, that sounds all good, right? Yeah, you can believe in God. That's okay. That doesn't matter what you believe as far as faith and getting ahead. That's okay. It's not okay to God. Look at this verse in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul tells the church at Galatia, they were dealing with people, said, you need to work to keep your salvation. It's salvation in Jesus Christ, but also keeping the law. He said this. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, faith in Christ alone, let him be accursed. You go up a couple of verses, the same verses there. Folks, there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. But we think, the world can think up all sorts of different ways to get you off of track. Out there in the crowd, there were a lot of people that looked good, but they were tares. There were only a few wheat stalks out there in that crowd. I pray that that is not here in the church. We should all be wheat and not tares. It's not about how you look, it's how what's in your heart. It's what you believe that means everything. So there are tares in the world, and therefore this applies to us. Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and he says this. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times come. Hey, we're a lot closer to Christ coming back than they were back 2,000 years ago. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, and kind. It's like reading the news, isn't it? Fierce, despiser, those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But look at the next verse. Having a form of what? Godliness. They look like it, but they're fake. And what is the instruction that Paul gives Timothy is this. But deny the power thereof, from such what? Turn away. And so Christ is telling his disciples, because they come to him, because they want to know the truth. He's telling them the truth. Folks, you need to know the truth. So the disciples come to him and say, hey, can you explain this parable to you? You explain the seed and the sower. Can you explain this? And the point of the first one is this. Fake faith fails. Fake faith fails. In verses 37 through 39, Christ reveals the source of fake faith, of false faith. Scripture says this, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So he's explaining the parable to them. Okay, who's the Son of Man? Christ. What's the good seed? The gospel. Where does it go? To all who believe. It's everywhere. You have a choice to believe it or not. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. If you know Jesus Christ, you're part of the children of the kingdom. You're part of the good seed. Amen for that. Amen. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them, and there's no doubt about who it is the what? Is the devil. And folks, when Christ speaks clearly, we need to pay attention. He that hath ears to hear, let him what? Hear. He, the enemy that sowed them, is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, which is coming. Don't anyone think that the world's going to stay around last forever. Don't ever think that the world's billions and billions of years old either. Okay? The reapers are the angels. We've already been studying in the book of Revelation that the angels execute God's judgment. We often think of angels doing all sorts of good things. There's even shows now on TV about demons and angels working together. Don't watch that junk. Don't watch that junk. The issue is, there was a death angel and the last plague in Egypt before Pharaoh released the children of Israel was a death angel, because that was God's judgment on the firstborn. We've been going through the trumpet judgments and the seal judgments and the bowl judgments. Who executes those? Angels do. The end of the world is coming. The end of the world is coming. Don't think that it's not going to. It could happen today. It could start happening today. So the source of fake faith is Satan. Anything that's fake comes from the father of lies. And we've already seen that you are your children. You're either the children of God or you're children of the devil. It's black and white. It's not what you think, it's what God's word says. The second point is that fake faith, we hear about fake news all the time. You know, Christ says, I tell you the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. Okay? Fake faith is eternally condemned because it cannot withstand God's judgment. In verses 40 through 42, the Bible says there, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world." Folks, there's tares out there. There may be even tares in here. The issue is that God's going to let you choose what you want to all the way to your deathbed. And at the end of time, your time or time, it will be judged. What did he say? He said, gather, wait till the harvest comes, and then what? Get them both and then separate them. Didn't he talk about sheep and goats already? Did he talk about having fruit? By your fruits you'll know them, okay? "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and him that do iniquity." Wednesday night we went through Revelation chapter 20, talked about the new 21, talked about the new earth and new heaven and new Jerusalem. There was nothing that defiled entering in. Sin is gone. Because sin cannot stand in the presence of God. He hates it. Did I tell you that? God hates sin. So when we're disobedient to Him, He doesn't like it. He still loves us, but He hates what we're doing. So are we pleasing God? Or are we making Him shake His head at us and go, "What are we doing?" "And shall be cast, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." He's already preached on that before. So all these things, they've already had the answer. Christ has given it plainly to them. Now He's telling them the stories to apply it. So you need to apply this in your life. So the source of fake faith is Satan. Fake faith cannot stand up with God's judgment, and you will wind up damned for eternity in a literal place called hell. A lot of churches don't preach about that anymore. This church will. Because eternity depends on it. Now the issue is, fake faith should not fool the spiritual. See, even in the parable, in verse 27, "So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have it tares?" See, the servants, the people that were taking care of the field, were realizing that there was seed and weeds in the field. So much that they came and he asked, "Hey, you want us to get them out?" And he said, "Nope, let them all grow together and we'll harvest it at the end and then we'll separate them." Don't believe fake faith all the way to your end, because then there is no second chance. There is no second chance. So fake faith does not fool the spiritual. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "We are of God." Oh, really? The good seed is what? The children of the what? Kingdom, the children of God. "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." There's a lot of tares in the world. If you do not know God's word and His truth, you can fall for it. "Study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's why we do Awana here for the kids. Because they're taught everywhere else the fake stuff. And somebody needs to tell them the true stuff. Amen. Okay? But we need to do it in love. We need to do it in love, but we need to call it out. If it's fake, identify it. Don't just accept it. So fake faith does not fool the spiritual. Okay? Now those short parables talk about true faith. Okay? And also the last part of Christ's explanation about this, of the parable of the tares. In verse 43 of chapter 13, this is what the good seed should do. This is what the children of the kingdom should do. This is what the saved of the earth should do. Okay? So if you are a Christian, this is what you should do. You should shine forth. It will shine forth. True faith triumphs. It will shine forth. Verse 43, the last verse of our passage this morning says this. It says, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun." The sun's pretty bright. It lightens everything else up. You go look at it, you could burn your eyes out because it's so bright. But can someone see the light of God in you? It's supposed to shine forth. That should have immediately evoked the Sermon on the Mount. "Yet your light, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's the how you understand the wheat from the tare. "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." And here we go. "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Church, Christian, you're supposed to shine forth. Are you hearing that today? Or are we being hard-headed? Secondly, it will grow greatly outwardly. He uses the parable of the mustard seed. And he says in the parable, he says the mustard seed is the what? The smallest of all seeds. But when it is grown, it becomes the greatest of all herbs and becomes a tree that the birds can lodge in. In Palestine, where this was, the mustard trees can grow to 15 feet. And yes, guess what it brings forth? More mustard seeds. And it will bring forth fruit because it's in good ground. Your faith starts with salvation. Peter writes, he says, "Give all diligence, add to your faith these things." The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, because it is meet." I want everybody to read this verse in unison. "Because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." See, words like exceedingly means a lot. Words like abounding means a lot. If you haven't really experienced God working in your life since your salvation, then you're still in the seed stage and you need to grow up to be a tree. Something that can bring forth more seed, something that have an impact on the birds that they can actually rest in there. And this morning I was teaching in Sunday school about the three Hebrew children that were thrown in the fiery furnace. Their actions, their faith made an impact on King Nebuchadnezzar. Folks, we're supposed to be shine forth as the sun, so our lives make an impact on them. He hath ears to hear what? Let him hear. Let him hear. So our faith doesn't stay small. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. For there is nothing impossible with Him." We are more than overcomers with Him. If you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can do this. "Well, I can't do anything. I'm just a failure." You're never a failure with God. You're never a failure with God. But I tell you, doing nothing guarantees failure. Doing nothing guarantees failure. If you put your mustard seed out on the windowsill, yeah, it looks nice. It's a seed. But it's not doing its purpose. Its purpose is to do what? To be planted, either to be ground up so it gives taste to people, or to be planted and become a tree. In this case, it's to be planted and become a tree that other people can see the fruit. So true faith triumphs because it will shine. True faith triumphs because it will grow greatly outwardly. true trait triumphs because it will grow greatly inwardly. This morning we showed a time lapse of a little lump of dough and putting yeast in it and watching it grow, and it grew to the entire size of the bowl. And what Christ is saying says, look, he says, you put a little bit of yeast in a ball of dough and a 3 measures meal, and what happens? It goes through all the meal and it makes it all react. So, you want to grow or you want to be flat? You want to make a cracker? Don't put yeast in it. It's flat. Okay? You want to be a good loaf of bread? Put yeast in it and then bake it, and it'll grow much bigger than what the dough was in the first place. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow inwardly. What does this really mean? Just as yeast goes through the entire body of dough or a whole ball of dough, the Holy Spirit needs to take every piece of your life and you need to surrender to it. You can't hang on to any of it. We talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord of everything, just not what we want to give Him. He's a creator. And so if you have true faith, it's going to triumph. It's going to shine forth. It's going to grow outwardly that people can see it. And it'll impact their lives. It'll grow inwardly that you won't be the same tomorrow as you are today. Are you flat? I just don't, can't do anything for God. He just won't use. Have you let Him use you? See, that's the issue. We need to let God control our lives. The Bible says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, a very familiar verse, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in what? All wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So how do you go through your day? You go through your day thinking about God and trying to please Him, or you go through your day thinking about how I can get ahead in the world? One shows that's wheat, one shows that's tare. One shows good leaven going through, one's not. True faith triumphs, but you know why? Because it's not fake. It's not fake. I'll close with this passage this morning. In Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 11, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You can fool the world and be in a tear. Being cheap wheat or fake wheat. But you can't fool yourself. Don't live a lie and go all the way to harvest time and find out that you're wrong. Make sure that you're wheat right now. You know if you are, if you have God's Spirit. There's only one way to have the Holy Spirit, and that's have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just believing in God. It's not doing all these outward acts. It's not church membership. It's true faith in Christ alone. That He came as the Son of God in the flesh, lived a perfect life, died on the cross in place of a sinner, which represents all of us. Paid the penalty of sin, which was death. Was buried for 3 days to prove that He really paid that. And then 3 days later, rose out of the grave triumphantly.
Amen.
To show that He has power over death and over sin. Is ascended to the right hand of God. And now He offers eternal life to all who will believe.
Amen.
All who will believe. Have you received that gift? He doesn't take the gift back. You know if you have or you haven't. This is pretty rough stuff. No, eternity is a big deal. Eternity is a big deal, and we can't make light of it. So, are you His or not? If not, I got great news for you. God's offering you salvation today.
Amen.
Christian, are you growing into a tree? Or is your inward life flat? Are you allowing God to use you outwardly and inwardly? Verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive. It's time to wake up. It's time to live for Him. Because time's running out. Shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Is there something, Christian, that you need to give to God? There's some area of life you haven't got given, let God have control of. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your work habits. Maybe it's what you watch. Maybe it's what you listen to. Give it all to God. Do people see Christ in you, the hope of glory? Is He manifested in the flesh? Those are things that we preached on within the last year. And it's all coming full circle. What about it, Christian? It's time to make a decision for Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask that You just be with us today in this time of invitation. Father, I just pray that if someone that does not know You, Lord, when the song starts to be sung, that they would come forward and we will show them from God's Word how they can receive the gift of eternal life. Father, for us as Christians, Lord, help us to do business with You. Help us, Lord, to surrender all that's us to You. Help us, Lord, that all that we do would glorify You, that we would follow You in spirit and truth. Father, be with us time of invitation. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.